Keep your radio dial right here. You're locked into the hottest news station on the planet. High 702.5 in FM sound. Blazing today's hip-hop, R&B, and pop music. Keeping your radio on fire. Bringing you the hottest, realest, riskiest talk shows. Ooh. Live 24-7. Live. On high702.5fm.com.
We are chill.
When me and mine's homicide, no way the drama's dying, cause I'm a lion.
Ran. Crying, no it's ran on the mic. Like he's a Virgo. Shout out to Virgos. Now I'm a garden giant.
You feel my pain when it's arthritis. Sort of like arthritis. It's hard to fight it. You are invited. The main attraction got you all excited. Remember when Johnny put 12 on the body and got us all indicted. Now we on a dangerous high like we can't afford a pilot. Call it bias. Got niggas coughing. Nobody caught a virus. I'm more defiant. Just caught a body in the alley so badly. Just throw the ball to Zion. See all them junkies on the corner buying. I tell my horse supply them. Get their numbers and turn them all to clients. A strong alliance is more than violence. Try to tear us apart. No fear in my heart. Let's start to ignore the sirens. I'm on an island. A gorgeous climate. My daughter's smiling. My aura is shining. Like flawless diamonds. Yeah. You can call it time.
Welcome, everybody. You are tuned in to the Undrafted All Stars Sports Show. I'm your host, Ion Big Sugar, a.k.a. Sugar Dosha the Great, a.k.a. Mr. Tell Your Friends About Me. I'm sitting here chilling in the hooch with my co-host,
Q Mecca, 2 Texa. You know, tragic gonna hold you down. What up, y'all? We in the what building?
We got a special guest today.
Special guest. He does a lot. He's a writer. He's an editor. He comes out the ring with Pacquiao, Rhapsody, everybody. He do everything. He's a friend of mine. We went to school together.
He's everywhere.
He's a great writer. He hip-hop head, music head, wrestling head.
Sports.
Welcome. Sports. Welcome. Andreas Hell. Yay!
Yo, what's good, fellas?
What it do?
What up, Dre? What's going on with you, man?
Man, just out here in New York, we're doing this media run for Our Heroes Rock, a Bridges cartoon, getting ready to make its world premiere, Urban World Film Festival, this Saturday. So we did High Negro in the morning. We did a few other shows, and you know, back in the room chilling now.
All right. So, just a couple of things about you. We don't let the people know, but let them know your pedigree, your resume. So you're a great editor and writer. I remember you wrote something on Kendrick Lamar, and I was like, "Yo, Dre, that shit was unbelievable." But give us your background: who you worked for, when you worked for him, Hip Hop DX, BET, 2 Dope Boys, all of that. Tell us a little bit about yourself, my brother.
Yeah, man. I mean, yeah, you know, we go way back from Valley. Was born in New York, but raised in Vegas. But yeah, after I left Morehouse College, I started working for a site called HipHopSite.com. I was the managing editor there. I was the editor-in-chief of HipHopDX.com. And then I went to BET for a year, which is the worst job I ever had in my life. But I was at the executive editor of music. The worst, by a country mile. Not even close. So I spent a year there. After I left BET, I worked for Jay-Z, for Jay-Z's Life and Times. I was the YouTube channel producer, and I was a staff writer. And then I transitioned into boxing and combat sports. So right now I'm the senior combat sports editor for the Sport News. I worked with The Zone. And now we got this cartoon coming out about hip hop. It's about black history and culture that we have coming out called Bridges.
Right on. I want to go back to this BET job. What made it the worst, bro? Talk to everybody. If you can, talk about it.
I already you told me the story, so go ahead and tell me.
Put
story.
It out there.
So after I left Hip Hop DX, I'm a hip hop head, right? You know, and I cover underground hip hop artists that wasn't on the surface. So when I came to BET, it was 2008. This before the blog era was popping. This before Drake came out. This before Kendrick came out. They told me when I got there that, you know, I helped reshape the narrative for BET's music. Because all they was playing was a bunch of mainstream nonsense that I really listened to. So right, I brought them artists like Lupe Fiasco, I brought them Little Brother, I brought them Drake, I brought them Nicki Minaj, and they shot me down at every turn, telling me that those artists were only internet rappers, they'd never be big.
You serious?
And they were wrong at about every single, dead ass, man.
Oh my God. Okay.
So I spent a year there trying to change the culture of BET, and it just didn't work out, man. It was a bunch of smart, stupid people that I worked with at the time. The same people ain't there when I was working there, but it just wasn't a great job, and it really left a bad taste in my mouth in terms of like real hip hop. And if you know a network like BET would really advocate for dope hip hop, and they wasn't doing it at the time, so I had to go.
Got you.
Right. And we know, I know that about you, that you are a hip-hop head, and you are about the culture, not the mainstream, not what's hot or what's popping. You're about, like, really getting into hip-hop.
I like that.
We have great talks about it, or we have had. But I remember you told that story, because you was like, yo, I tried to bring them hip-hop. They shut everything down. They wasn't open to anything. So that's when you say smart, dumb people, that means that they don't have their pulse on the culture. They just looking at numbers and what and all those things, which is a necessary evil in the music business, where you gotta have it, gotta be a balance, right, of look and content, lyrics, music making, which I like. You probably feel like, yo, that shit is trash. Like, if get the dope artists out, you can make them look how you want them to look, but you got to get the dope artists out, because that's what's going to last long. All those people you name, all legends.
Right. Running the game right now.
You try to bring them all legends, and they shut all legends down. That's crazy. But also, I remember you did an article. I think it was, and you wrote it, I can't remember what it was on, but it was about Lupe. It was about Lupe's song, Italia. You know the song. That song. And I didn't know, hear that song until you did that article. And I was like, yo, let me go back and listen to this. Because Drake said some unbelievable writing on this. So I went and listened to that song, and I was like, oh, yes. That song is hard. It's on Food and Liquor 2, obviously. One of the best songs. But what made you get into journalism and writing? Because I don't know if you was interested in it when we was in high school, but I know you went to Morehouse. What made you get into writing? What was it about? What did you like?
Well, here's the simple story of it. So what I used to read The Source all the time. I used to bring it to Valley High School. I'd pick up a copy of The Source and read it. So I remember one day, I think Common's One Day It All Makes Sense got a 3.5. And it was like some garbage album got a 4.5. And I was like, yo, who is writing these reviews? Like, do they know hip hop?
Super biased, bro.
Right. So I go to college and I come back and hip hop site was out here. It was a record store that sold like MF Doom, Lupe, like all that stuff was there. And I was in the store and the owner, Pizzo, came out and was like, yo, I need somebody to write a review. And nobody wanted to do it. None of the workers at the store. And I was like, yo, I'll do it because I know the culture. I can write about it.
Right.
And I realized really quick that I was writing for people that dug hip hop like I did. Right. Like, I wasn't writing for like the mainstream nightclub people. I wasn't writing for the dope boys. I was writing for the hip hop heads. And I wanted to shine light on the artists that wasn't getting that kind of shine. So it was like, when I started covering hip hop, like Lil Brother had just came out and Lupe had just came out. And I brought them here to Vegas to do a show. I tried to promote concerts too. But I wanted to shine a light on the thing that was getting the light shined on. And I wanted to make sure that the culture was being documented properly. And I've never said get rid of the whack shit. I've always said have some balance. If you want to have some Soulja Boy or whatever out there, you got to have a Lupe out there. And because people dig them both, and you got to be able to write intelligently about both of them.
Absolutely.
And that's what I wanted to do. Like, if I wasn't going to rap, I was going to write about some damn rap. That was going to be my job.
Hey, I love that. I agree with you 100%, the balance, because it's a time for Soulja Boy and you know, crunk music and all that, and it's a time for Lupe. I agree, one of them don't get the shine that the other one get on the radio, but that's something that I don't worry about in this day and age, because I make my own radio stations up. I do my own playlists, I do all that. So you was ahead of your time in that. I also see there's some things I didn't know about you. I did some research on you, and it says that you produced a Kendrick Lamar documentary. Is that true? Where can we find that? And tell us your relationship with Kendrick, because I know you got one with him, and tell us how that came about that you got to do the documentary.
So going back to the BET story, J-Rock came to my office one day, and he had this artist with him. He was like, yo, this is my little bro. He's going to be incredible. It ended up being Kendrick, who was K-Dot at the time. And he had a flash drive. Him and Top Dog got a flash drive. I played it. And I was like, I told Kendrick, he was sitting in the hallway, I was like, you're so dope, you'll never make it. Because at the time, the radio wasn't playing nobody like Kendrick.
Like that, right. Yeah.
So we always had a really close relationship. So when Kendrick starts taking off, I was like, yo, this is incredible. I was documenting everything that Kendrick was doing. I was close with TDE. I was close with the camp. When I got to Jay-Z's website, Life and Times, I pitched the idea of doing a TDE documentary. And Jay Bitt, he was like, yo, they're next, so let's do it. So I ended up going on the road with them. It was right after Good Kid, Mad City dropped. So we went to Arizona, San Diego for his first sold-out show. And when he won his first BET award, I believe, I was there for that. So I traveled with all the boys, Schoolboy, Absol, J-Rock. We went to each of their cities and documented where they were from. And it was about a year before To Pimp a Butterfly dropped. So we were doing the transition of, like, what's next for Kendrick. So that documentary lived on YouTube for a long time. But as soon as Jay-Z launched Tidal, he had to take the YouTube down. So you can only find it on, I think, Daily Motion right now, because the YouTube links are down. So, yeah. But it's out there. You can find it. It's still there. It's like a 20-minute documentary, and I executive produced the whole thing.
All right. Also, a question. You mentioned Life and Times. I didn't know that was Hov's, so I'm learning something. How did you get linked up with Hov in Life and Times and being what did you say
your position was there?
Yeah, I was a YouTube channel producer and a staff writer. Yeah. So here's what happened. So I leave BET in basically a shitstorm. I wrote an open letter that ended up in the New York Post Page Six about how trash BET was. So I left. You know, I was unemployed at the time. I was doing freelance writing. But everybody also knew that I covered boxing and MMA. Jay-Z's a big boxing fan. So I find out that he's getting ready to launch a website. I get a phone call, come to the Rock Nation offices, and interview for this job. Jay-Z's talking about launching a website. So I go in and sit in on the meeting. Tata's there. A few friends I know, Monet Perry, who I'll shout out because she took care of me. And they're like, hey, you know, we're doing this lifestyle site Jay's talking about doing. Would you be interested? I'm like, hell yeah, I'm interested. It's Jay-Z. Like, that's my favorite rapper. Like, why not?
Right.
And it was like, you know, you do sports and culture, so we'd love for you to document that. Jay-Z walks in. And I'm like, yo, like, I didn't know Jay was pulling up to the meeting. Jay looks at me and was like, aha, it's Andreas. I heard you're the boxing guy. I was like, yeah, that's me. And he walks out. I don't hear nothing for a year. 1 year later, the editor at the time, Shahandra, gives me a call and was like, yo, you ready to do this? Jay wants to hire you. And I said, I bet. And we was off and running from there.
Oh, that's dope.
And you were freelance at the time, correct?
Yep. Yes, I was.
Let me do this
real quick. So I'm going to get the timeline right. So the BET thing. So you just walked away from that.
No, man. I got let go. There was a conflict that led to my departure. And it had to do with Kanye West and Rihanna. It's a whole other conversation. But it was building up. Like, when I got hired there, Fonte from Little Brother and Aaron McGrew, the creator of the Boondocks, both called me and said, I bet you won't last the year. So my job was to try to last 1 year. I lasted 364 days because I couldn't take it. So it was really difficult. But, yeah, so I got let go in September. So I worked from September to September, September 13th to the 12th, I believe. And then I was still in New York. I moved back to Vegas. I got hired by Life and Times May of 2010. So after I got married in 2009, I was back in Vegas. I was doing some freelance writing. I was still doing some producing. And then I got the call to work with Jay-Z.
Oh, that's dope. That's dope.
That's what's up.
So also, I see some other things that I didn't know about you. It says you were a senior editor for Combat Sports. Is that true?
Yep. Yes, it is. I was a few places. At The Zone, I was a senior editor of Combat Sports when they first launched. And right now, you know, I'm the senior writer for the Sport News. But yeah, I've been doing that for a while.
That's what's up, man. And congratulations.
And something else I didn't know. You got a podcast called The Corner Pod. Yes.
The Corner Podcast. Yeah, so me and Kel Dansby.
Where can we find that at?
It's, you can find it anywhere you get podcasts. It's The Corner Podcast. Okay. It's boxing, pro wrestling, MMA, with a little bit of hip-hop. It's me, my partner Kel Dansby, who is the man who runs ESPN's Ringside account. That's my brother. And we have a podcast that actually records every Tuesday and Thursday at The Wynn in the Blue Wire Studios. And we talk about all these things. And the only reason that podcast happens is because of my man Combat Jack. Combat Jack called
me. Rest in peace.
Yes, rest in peace to Combat. My brother.
Yeah.
I was writing for The Source at the time. I gave Kanye West his 5-mic review for My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
And his best album to date still.
Oh yeah. Jack calls me and was like, why aren't you podcasting? And I was like, don't want to hear my voice. Don't want to hear what I got to say. He was like, brother, there ain't nobody out there that's doing boxing, MMA, and pro wrestling. You need to launch a podcast. And this is right before he passed. And he gave me the torch. He told me to run and do it. And we did it and it took off from there.
Hey, that's dope. Rest in peace to Combat Jack. He the real pie father.
He is.
Started that shit. All right, a couple more things then. All right, so you've been out. I didn't see you on Ringside a couple times. I can't remember the last time I seen you, but I think you came out with Rhapsody. She's top tier rapper. Shout out to Rap. Who's the last person you came out on Ringside with?
It was Rhapsody.
It was Rhapsody? And what fight was that? Was it a UFC fight or a boxing match? Boxing match.
That was boxing. Remember. That was Sean Porter's retirement fight.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sean Porter, yep, exactly.
And,
that's exactly
my brother Big E walked out, me, Big E, and Rhapsody. I produced that final walkout. And Sean didn't tell me he was retiring that night. I had no idea. The way he was setting it up, I was like, something's up, but I couldn't figure out what it was. He wanted to do this big entrance. I put it together. Rhapsody did Godzilla. Big E did this big preacher segment, and we walked out. And then after the fight, Sean was like, yo, I'm retired, man. I was like, yo, I got to produce your last walkout for a fight? And that was it.
Wow. Yep. So,
nice.
How did you, now we're going to get into the movie, Bridges. How did you come across, start, co-write, find out, do anything about with the movie? Like, well, how did it come together with you two brothers?
So, me, Big E, and Jonathan Davenport, who I know you guys are going to talk to as well. Yeah. During the pandemic, when George Floyd passed, I ended up doing a WWE podcast with Big E called The New Day Podcast, where we just talked about the passing of George Floyd. And it was the first time I was ever done on WWE programming. It was very emotional because we were all stuck at home watching George Floyd get murdered on TV, right?
Like,
we had nowhere to go. We didn't have we couldn't do anything else but watch this man die and have dialogue about it. But me and E was like, well, how do we keep this conversation going about race in America? And how do we push it forward instead of being stuck preaching to the choir? So E and Johnny came up with like Schoolhouse Rock themed wrestling gear for black heroes, right? So they had like Rosa Parks, but like in a Schoolhouse Rock cartoon. So he wrestled in it, and I called him and I was like, bro, what are you doing with the gear? He was like, oh, it's just wearing it for one night. I was like, you're not wearing that just for one night. I said, how about we recreate what Schoolhouse Rock was, but make it hip hop? So I got connections in the industry. You got connections in the industry. Johnny's a cartoonist and an animator, and he's a storyboarder. Let's make a cartoon that blends science fiction, hip-hop, and black history. I called Rhapsody. I said, yo, sis, I need you. I need you to make a song about Ruby Bridges. Big E calls Eric, the architect from the Flatbush Zombies. Said, yo, Eric, I need you to produce a song. We put them all together, and we made this cartoon. We raised $130,000 on Kickstarter to make this. And it took 3 years of love to put it together. It's truly a labor of love. We're not making any money off of this thing. And we're finally in this film festival, so this will be our world premiere on Saturday.
Shout out. I got a question about that. All the stories out there, right? Why did y'all select Ruby Bridges' story out of the other stories that's out there?
So Ruby Bridges is the first little girl to integrate schools in November 14th, 1960. Absolutely. Ruby Bridges is also still alive, which
still
a lot
alive.
Of people don't know.
Yes,
still
she
alive
is.
And kicking. And we felt like that's a story that everybody can relate to. And what we're not doing is we're not preaching to the choir. We're not saying white people are evil. What we're saying is this little black girl who didn't know that she was necessarily black. She just thought she was a little girl going to school. And they didn't want her to go to school because she was black. So she had to be brave. She felt like an outcast. She had to be strong, right? Those are emotions that anybody has felt, right? Because as little kids growing up, we didn't find out we was different as black people until somebody told us we were different. Right? Because we played with the same kids. We come and hung out. And it wasn't until like a teacher treated us different or a friend was like, I can't play with you because my mama said that I can't play with any black kids, that we realized something was wrong. That's what Ruby Bridges dealt with. And we felt like her story is one that that people can understand, is that she had to be brave. She had to overcome fear. And her teacher was Barbara Henry, which is a white woman who decided that, she said, I'm not going to let that little girl not be taught. So when other parents won't let their kids go to school with Ruby, Barbara sat with Ruby for a year and taught her all her courses, right? And I think that's about relationships, allyship, bravery. These are emotions that we all feel. And we felt like making that a cartoon would be dope. And I think everybody can understand that language.
That's what's up.
That's a great point. because those are, and I like the fact that you ain't, like you said, you ain't preaching to Christ, teaching about, oh, these people are evil. It's more about, hey, this is the history, and this is what you can find some silver lining and greatness from something that is tragic. From a little black girl that they didn't want there to her getting a teacher who was white, who was like, I'm going to help you. I'm not going to give up on you, even if the other kids don't come. That's dope, man. That's the story that we don't hear that much. We always hear, like, you know, the narrative is always, oh, the white people are just bad. But I always tell people, for us to get through and persevere through all of the things that we had to, it had to be some allies that were white on our side. And we appreciate y'all, those people, and we need to big them up. So that's a dope story. That's dope. So you say Rhapsody did the song. Is the song going to be on the film, the short film? How long is it?
The short film is 13 minutes long. You know, it's a combination of 3D and 2D animation. Big E plays a character called Etor, which is like an 8-foot giant robot. These kids go to a place called the Hall of Heroes. They go through there virtually, where they show up and they see all these black leaders in history. And each story is accompanied by a music video. So it's a Ruby Bridges music video that Rhapsody does the song and Eric does the beat. And okay. I can't wait for people to see it, man. I don't want to give away too much. But we made this into something that's very catchy. Like, I got kids, man, and I'm so sick of hearing Baby Shark. I swear to God. I want to hear something that, as a parent, that I think is dope, too. So this song is dope for adults, but kids can dig it as well.
Absolutely.
That's dope. That's dope, man. So what else? What else are you doing since you, after you premiere this? What are you working on? What's in the works for you right now or for the future?
Well, I mean, obviously, we're trying to sell this cartoon because we would love to make this into a series, right? Like, we would love
to be
10 to 12 episodes of black history, put it in your kids' faces. And now it's not just black history, it's American history, right? Because as a kid, right. I grew up, I remember Schoolhouse Rock taught me how to make a bill of law. And I still remember that song to this day. I want our songs to be the same way. So that's the plan. Other than that, I mean, I'm still covering boxing and MMA. I'm still doing podcasting. I'm still doing, you know, working with Big E and the WWE. Like, we got some other things in the pipeline, but just staying busy, man. Just staying busy, trying to push the culture forward. That's the bottom line of it all.
I got one. Check your bio out. You got this HBCU Battle of the Brains thing. Explain that to everybody. It's the seventh annual, correct?
Yes. So they did it. HBCU Battle of the Brains is my man Gregory Gibson. He brings all the HBCUs together. And they do a big event where, like, Rich Paul was a keynote speaker. I got to host a panel on African Americans in pro wrestling with Jade Cargill and Ricky Starks and Powerhouse Hobbs, Stokely Hathaway, Willow Nightingale. Well, we talked about experiences of being black in this industry. So I hosted a panel there. It went over real well. It's like, it's bridging the gap, man. And I think ultimately, like, as African Americans, we can do so many different things. And I think a lot of people don't understand, like, yo, we got hurdles everywhere we go just because we're black. We don't get treated the same in any industry. And I always want to talk about the struggles and how people have overcome in those industries. Because just like the Ruby Bridges stuff, like, pro wrestling was racist as hell 20, 30 years ago. And now we're getting to see black champions, you know what I'm saying, and black superstars. So it's all about pushing the narrative forward and changing the culture. And we got to do that in front of every HBCU out there. Shout out to Greg. We did it at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. It was incredible.
Oh, that's what's up.
Oh, that's dope. That's super
dope. Shout out to Greg. Shout out to Big E. What's the relationship with you and Big E? How did y'all even meet in the beginning?
Bro, over hip-hop and boxing and MMA. Like, I love pro wrestling. I had interviewed him years ago, and I was like, yo, who are you listening to? And he said, Flatbush Zombie. I said, don't know regular wrestler. Listen to no goddamn Flatbush Zombies. I need to get to know you. My man Cash was up, and he was like, yo, I've been following your boxing and MMA coverage. And we used to text every now and then. Then it became an everyday thing. And then it was like, yo, how can we work together? How can we? Because he loves hip-hop. I love MMA and pro wrestling. Like, how can we put all these things together? And we've talked every day for like the past 6 years. That's like my business partner and best friend. Up.
That's dope.
That's what's up.
He told us he loved hip-hop when we interviewed him. But I didn't get to ask him this question, and I'm going to ask you.
Ask him.
Because I know you.
Ask him.
Right now. Not our old ones, but the active MCs rapping right now. Who are your top five?
Top five.
So that means you can't include Hov. We already know Hov, Nas, we know they're great. The top five.
I'll give you my personal five.
Yes, what I want.
Fonte from Little Brother.
That's our boy C4's favorite rapper too. He ain't here right now, but he loves Fonte.
Rhapsody. And that's not because she's my sis, because I just think she's an incredible dope female MC.
She's super dope.
Right.
Royce the 5'9", who I think is one of the most underrated MCs in the game, period.
And it's crazy. That's true.
Kendrick Lamar, of course. Look, it's crazy. People forgot. Miss Morale and the Big Steppers came out last year. People act like it came out a decade ago. Came out last year. That's 4 and 5. Who am I going to put at 5? I guess I still got to say Nas, because Nas is active, man.
I ain't mad at that.
Like, King's Disease is incredible. Just outside that list, I love what Killer Mike did this year. I love what Rand's been doing. Rand's been killing it.
Rand's my favorite. I just played him before we brought you on. Shout out to Rand.
And if I had to take Nas out, I put JID in there because I think JID is incredible. I think that kid is the future. He's dope as hell.
Yeah, JID is dope.
I get a top five, bro.
Yeah, I like it. Hey, they be sleeping on rap, though.
I be sleeping on Royce. I ain't even no front.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
I like him, but I don't think he personally top five.
A lot of people think he's great, though. But Royce is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And that he's sober and focused, he's even more unbelievable. He was unbelievable when he was drinking.
But that's dope.
That's dope, man. I'm glad you said that, because I meant to ask Big E that, and I'm like, damn, I didn't even ask him that. Because, you know, I love music, too. Like, we have hip-hop debates all day, hip-hop and sports debates. So that's dope that you said those people. All those people I love. I think it's underrated. Fonte's partner in Lil Brother. What's his name?
Big Pooh.
I remember when they broke up, I went to his album. I think it's called Argumentation, something like that. That album is unbelievable. I say, yo, check Big Pooh out. He killing this. And I was telling people, they're like, Big Pooh, I say, from Lil Brother. They're like, I don't know. Check him out. He killed that. Shout out to Big Pooh.
Yeah.
Shout out to Ninth Wonder, Fonte. Y'all all are dope, Lil Brother. We love y'all. Rap. Looks like what? What time? We wrapping this up at what time? Is it time? 1:56?
No, we're good.
Are we good? Oh, well, we got some more. I got some more. Hold on. I didn't know you produced a Paul George documentary.
How did that come about?
Jay-Z's Life and Times, and the weird thing about it is, like, I was covering a fight one night, and my man Rick Mirigan, who's a manager of, like, Jose Ramirez, and he works with, like, Virgil Ortiz, but Jose had just came out of the Olympics, and we were at the fight, and I told him I was working with Jay, and he was like, yo, there's this kid, he's a rookie for the Pacers, Paul George, and this is his second year, like, after his first year, he's going to make it the NBA All-Star team. Well, I think it was in the three-point shootout or something. And I was like, yo, did they have a documentary? Like, does anybody know about one? Like, he went to Fresno State. And we connected. I got it budgeted. We did a documentary. And it's the documentary that he used with CAA to get his new deal with the Pacers, the $86 million deal he got. It was from our documentary.
I ain't get a dime,
but I ain't tripping. My man, coverage that we needed. But yeah, we spent a week in Houston with Paul George for NBA All-Star Week and just kind of followed him around it. Got to see what his life and family was like, and man's amazing, man. And look at him now, you know, they just got James Harden and the Clippers. They still gonna lose, but I love him.
I did not know that you did
Paul George Pettis, man.
I did not know that you did that. Also, I want to talk to you about our team. What do you think's going on with our team, bro? 49ers, why are we on a 3-game slide?
All right, so here's what's happening with the Niners. When you
trash.
Our secondary is getting smoked right now. Every offensive scheme is targeting our nickelback. So that's problem number one. Problem number two, we're not putting no pressure on the quarterback. Nick Bosa
needs some help.
He having that holdout, like, we got Chase Young, and I hope Chase Young show up because he ain't been great with the Commanders, but I hope he shows up and anchors the other side. The defense has been leaky, but we need Debo. Debo moving around in the backfield messes defenses up. Ain't nobody worried about Ray-Ray. Ain't nobody worried about Juwan Jennings. We need Debo, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, and Christian McCaffrey. That's the way the Brock Purdy operates. And Purdy need to settle down, man. Like, we just got to get the kids to settle down. We'll be all right. Losing three games is okay because the NFL is a long season. We'll make the playoffs, and we'll beat the Cowboys in the playoffs, and we got to see them again.
The only team y'all can beat is the Cowboys.
Hey,
congratulations.
Hey, this is what I think. I think our secondary is getting torched because our pass rush ain't getting there.
It's not.
That's what I think. So I think the new addition should help. Bosa only got 2 sacks on the year. I noticed it since the beginning. I said, yo, our defense ain't they giving up. They not giving up a lot of points, but they giving up a lot of yards and a lot of big plays. I noticed that the whole year, and I was, and then my brother Jamal, shout out to him. He was like, "Yo, we got a new defensive coordinator." I said, then I showed they showed the defensive coordinator. He in the box, like he up there. And I'm like, yo, defensive coordinator is supposed to be on the field. They supposed to have the they supposed to have that pulse of the defense. They gotta be rah, rah, rah. Hey, get in your face. Yeah, what you doing? He up there in the box looking cute. I don't think they like that. Jamal got a conspiracy. He's like, I think the defense don't like him, so they sabotaging him so you get fired. I said, I don't think they would do that. No. They might not like him, but I don't think they would sabotage. Go do your job. Like no. Our defense was really, really good last year, and we took a slide back. And I think it's because of the new defensive coordinator, but I think it's the scheming. I don't think he's scheming. I like him to be down on the field. I read an article that said he's going to go. They talked, him and Shanahan talked about him coaching from the field. And I'm like, if you got to tell him to do that, then this tell is suspicious to me.
I mean, looking like this, man, we had D'Amico Ryans was our defensive coordinator. Look at what he's doing in Houston. That defense is tight. Like he rallies those kids together. We called a zero blitz against the Vikings before. Yeah. And third and long,
yeah.
What are we doing? That's crazy. And Addison just rips the ball out and goes 60 yards to the house with it. Like, that can't happen, man. You got to at least cover two that. Like, what are you doing? So we need to step it up defensively. Yeah, we got to step it up defensively. But I think we'll be all right. I think Chase Young, Fred Warner, Hufanga, I think those guys, once they get it all together, I think we'll be fine. There's some growing pains with our defensive coordinator.
Yeah, and some youth with Brock. So I think Brock going to be all right. He just, like you said, settle down, learn from the mistakes, and we'll be good. Looks like it's about our time, though, right? Hey, it was great talking to you, boy. We got to hook up. You know, the last time I seen you, I can't remember. But it was with Dwayne. Somewhere with Dwayne. We watched a game or something like that, yeah. But we got to hook up.
We got to link up, bro.
You could come on the show. We can talk sports. You can talk hip-hop. We can do all that. And it's, you're a dope person, a beautiful person. You love hip hop. That's where we connect at, the hip hop and the sports. I'm like, yo, Dre.
You just happened to be a 49er fan.
I know Dre. We went to school together. And you're a real man because you're a 49er fan.
I ain't gonna knock you for that. You did a whole lot of great stuff, man. You winning right now.
Exactly. Thank you for calling.
Thanks, bro.
Have a good one, bro. All
right, man. Talk to y'all later. Peace.
Yes, sir. Andreas Hall, everybody. Hell, I'm sorry.
Hell. A 49er
Dre
fan.
Dre Hell. We got to link up with him for real.
3 minutes.
I disagree with y'all take.
What take?
On that 49ers.
What you disagreed with?
Y'all defense over the last however many years, even back when you had Robert Saleh, y'all offense never played from behind. So when you're leading, and you got a Garoppolo or whoever else game managing, your defense can peer in their ears back because everybody got to play comeback football on y'all. Now they got the lead on y'all, so our defense ain't playing the same because now they're in front of y'all, if you get what I'm saying.
I would agree if we was getting blew out and we had to come back.
But he's throwing interceptions 19. Now.
But that ain't because you think – oh, so you do you think that
– because you're playing from behind.
Okay, so you're saying he's pressing.
It's a different playbook from Shanahan to your quarterback. Same thing with Jimmy G. We talked about this years ago. When it's time for him to make a play, he can't because he's a game manager.
I agree with that. But so you're saying that Brock Purdy is pressing because we down. So he's just trying to make something happen.
He's getting pressed. But he is a youngster.
Yeah, he's a rookie. You know what I'm saying?
So what you don't want to do is you don't want to mess up for your coach.
Or you want to make something happen because – you down.
Yeah.
So pressing, I agree with that.
And that's what I'm saying. Y'all play from behind.
I don't think that has nothing to do with our defense not playing well. They play well regardless. That's how we got to lead.
But now you're not getting pressure on the quarterbacks.
Exactly. So that's the problem.
Kirk Cousins would tell you, I ain't even talking about Cleveland. The way Kirk Cousins would tell y'all ass up, that was the best game he ever played.
Yeah, he looked like Patrick Kirk Cousins. He looked like Patrick's cousin Kirk. So I agree with you. But I think that don't got nothing to do with the defense. I think the scheming ain't our defensive coordinator ain't scheming the guys to put him in position.
He's gonna lose his job too, bro.
I mean, he just got that moment. You gotta go out there and like you got a good defense. Go do something. He over there looking vanilla.
Steve Wilkes was at Arizona, got fired the first season. So
I ain't get this job.
The same thing. He out there.
But I ain't get this job.
He's a good coach.
Well, why you get fired in the first season?
Right. We about to jump back into this thing, and we got to get our next interviewee.
Our next interview is coming up. He's coming up over Ransom.
Right, the coming Hulk. Up over Ransom. Mr. Jonathan Davenport.
Go to the drink. This. So, we got another contributor of the movie Bridges. Writer, co-writer, producer, imagery.
Race car driver?
Yeah, race car driver. Oh, he do everything. He like hot sauce. Put him on everything.
Right on.
Jonathan Davenport. Davenport.
Jonathan Yay! Davenport. Johnny!
How you
there
doing?
You go.
How
what's up, bro?
Hey, there we
pretty
go.
Pretty good, pretty
Listen,
good.
Jonathan Davenport, Johnny. The race car driver, is my arch nemesis. He has right. hijacked my Google results. I do
so that ain't even you?
Cars. Nah, man, nah.
I'm like, dude, do all this. Hey, race cars.
Right.
I'm saying, what? I screw up your research department. Your R&D is right out the window. It's gone. It's gone. You know nothing.
Somebody.
I'm a man of mystery in this course.
Somebody not getting paid for this.
Somebody was like, hey, he does a lot. So, how you doing? How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm the writer and director of Bridges. So no race cars, but man, I love animation. I love comics. I love anime. And this project allowed me to combine a lot of my interests into something that I think will make the world a better place.
All right. I got the first question, and then I'll let my co-host take over.
Bring it on.
The research department, hopefully they was right on this one. They said that you started writing comics at 10 for your mom. Tell us about that, if that's true or if it's not true, and what if it ain't true, what inspired you to do it?
That is true. That is true. Yeah, man, look, I don't know if you guys are like me. Were you raised by media? You raised by cartoons, comics,
yes,
TV?
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, man. So, like, these things, like, informed me of the world and like, honestly, kind of taught me my morality and taught me about perseverance, sacrifice, all these things, you know? And it's when that's in you and you find yourself wanting to tell these stories, you look for any audience you can find. And if you're 10, your audience is your mom's. So
that's true. True.
I would draw these comics for my mom. And, you know, I'm a pretty nerdy dude. You know, the deadline, like I would apologize to my mom, like, man, I'm sorry, I missed the deadline. This comic was supposed to be out on the first. I know this is the third. I'm so sorry. And she's like, what is wrong with my son?
So you had the passion early to, and the passion and the creativity. Cause man, I didn't have no creativity and none of the arts or drawing. I used to go rap well and play football good or something. But, what else is on there?
You're either good at sports or you trash. Find your way through. I like the way you've done it, though, man.
Appreciate it.
Graphic designer.
You know, in those two categories, I guess I'd be trash.
A lot of us didn't make it to the league, bro. We got to find our way through. I like what you've done, though. Speaking on the design and writing career that you know, you did, you know, anime and all that stuff, like get into writing and journalism. How'd you get into that?
Man, so I've just, you know, I've always loved it. You know how it is, like, if you believe in something, you'll find a way in. Now, I'm not saying I'm living my exact dream life, but I've been dream adjacent for a while, you know? You gotta express yourself, you gotta put your interests out in the world, and it's like a beacon, and you'll find your tribe, and eventually people find you and go, oh, you're into this, word, me too. So, eventually I found myself storyboarding for, like, commercials and, like, music videos and, like, not great stuff, like edible arrangements, like, stuff like that.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Small stuff. Good. Small stuff.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And then eventually I somehow found my way into, like, game design. I started writing games for Nickelodeon and Disney, and, you know, it's been a good time. And eventually I hooked up with Andreas and E, and now we got this project going.
That's dope. So yeah. I got some of your earlier works. Extreme Force. Could you tell us about that? How that came about?
He blew up on that.
Yeah.
Our research department is great. Shout out to our researcher.
Shout out to the research.
No, that was the race car driver that made that movie. That was.
The race car driver happens to be a writer too.
Man, he is killing the game.
It says it was an action film.
It was, man. So, like, right out of film school, you know how these things. It's like, sometimes it's luck, sometimes it's fortune, whatever. We happened to meet this guy named international action star Hector Chavarria. He described himself as the South American Chuck Norris. And this man said, I need a crew to make a movie in America, and I don't want to pay, so how about I get some film students to help me out? And that was us. So, I wrote this movie, and I don't know if you remember Van Damme with Kickboxer, but, like, the bad guy from Kickboxer was the bad guy in our movie, so that was, like, my first little brush with celebrity. It was pretty fun.
Oh, that was cool. That was cool. Got another one. What about The Air I Breathe?
What was that about? That was pretty fascinating. That was my first, foray into professional storyboarding for feature films. And the way it kind of worked, now, I wasn't a storyboard artist for the entire film. The way it worked was, a lot of times, you know, you'll make a sizzle reel or you'll make a demo or something in order to get the gig. So this guy knows a director named Jiho Lee, amazing, amazing director. He hit me up and asked me if I could do some storyboards to help sell his vision as a director to get stars on board so they can get the movie made. Now, this has happened before a few times in my career. It doesn't always go the distance. This time it happened to. He got Sarah Michelle Gellar, he got Brendan Fraser. It's a killer cast, and that was my first time out.
Oh, that was good, man. That was good. So you went to film study school. What school did you go to?
I did. I went to the University of Central Florida, and now
UCF.
Now it's a very reputable film school, but at the time that I went, it was a trailer. And the class just ahead of me were the Blair Witch Project guys.
Oh, really?
So,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So they put that movie out. Obviously, that became a cultural milestone.
Cultural project,
They're on the cover of Time magazine. And then as I'm graduating, the film school is like, let's pour some money into this program. So,
that's how it goes. That is how it goes. So what else we got for them?
The uniforms, wrestling uniforms, like Xavier Woods, Kofi Kingston, all the New Day, and all them guys.
How did
they came out
guys?
GQ, bro, doing the fights.
How did that relationship form? And then what made you do the uniforms for them? Give us the backstory on that.
One word. Craigslist.
Craigslist.
You was on Craigslist?
Yeah. You know, it was one of those times. I don't know if you guys have had like similar journeys where, like, you know, you have like career highs and career lows. So I was in the middle of a low. I think it was during the recession. Just there wasn't a lot of entertainment work, and I was like, oh, that's all I'm good at. So I guess I'm going to be working some day jobs. And I was not creatively fulfilled. You know what it's like when you're not doing the thing you're built to do. You just feel hollow, right?
Yeah.
So I was just looking for anything, like any kind of gig, not to make money, but just to be fulfilled. I happened to see this Craigslist ad for somebody who was looking for character design for a cartoon that they were trying to pitch. And I was like, oh, that's right in my wheelhouse. They wanted it in the style of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from the 90s Nickelodeon cartoon. I was like, yeah, I can do that. Right on. So, I answered the ad. I got the gig. Turns out that dude was Xavier Woods before he hit. So he asked, like, he was like, by the way, I like your work. Be interested in designing some wrestling gear. Having no idea how to do that, obviously, I said, absolutely, I will. Yes, I will do that. Because, you know, man, what are these wrestlers if they're not real life superheroes? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you're just designing uniforms for superheroes, you know? So I was like, I can do that. So me and Woods worked together for a few years, and then all of a sudden he got to the big show. He formed the stable New Day with E and Kofi, and I'll always be grateful to Woods, because I don't know if you guys have had this situation where, like, somebody makes use of your talents and your skills, and then they make it, and that's the last time you talk to them, right? That happens a lot. Woods is not like that. He's a real one. He brought me with him. He's one of the very few people I've ever met who brought me with him and said, this is my guy, and now he's your guy. So I've been making gear design for the New Day for their entire run for like 9 years. I also do like Ricochet and Claudio and Bailey, and just like the roster grew and grew just from word of mouth, and it's been really rewarding.
That's a dope story, because like you said, a lot of people, they won't come back and bring you. That's really dope. So, we talked to Big E, we talked to Andre. They're both hip-hop fans. Are you a hip-hop fan?
Listen, fellas. I like music in general, but I'll be perfectly honest with you because I don't want to dig a hole that I can't climb out of. I listen to old-time radio detective stories from the 40s. That's how I pass my time. I apologize.
That's how you create your stuff, cool, right?
That's just how I am.
Maybe that's your muse.
I got to be real with you. If you want to talk about Philip Marlowe and the case of the missing whatever, we could talk all day.
Hey, maybe that's your muse for your writing.
Absolutely.
100%.
40s radio, because I listen to podcasts personally, but
yeah.
I used to think talk radio was ridiculous, and then something about podcasts, I love it. I think I like the rawness of it.
It's crazy really the way it's dope. Come back, you know?
Yeah, like, exactly.
And I feel like there's a lost art to the long form interview. Like everything is sound bites. Everything is cut it up as short as you can.
Right, for clicks.
Right? Right. What about a real conversation? I love absolutely, that so much. Right. So, like, man, what you guys do is so important.
Thanks, yeah, man.
I think it is too. And it's like you said, a real conversation. You
don't have to. We're gonna move to Bridget. We asked E. Of course, yes, we asked Dre. We're gonna ask you about it. Like, you had conversations on this. You, of course, the anime designer. What made y'all come do this in a cartoon?
All right, so here's the thing, man. I don't know if you guys are into history. Like, as an adult, I see the value. I'm finally getting to the point where I'm like, yeah, that's, if you don't know where you come from, you don't know where you're going. You know, you have no direction. But as a kid, I could not give less of a care about history. It's just was not my
boring.
Thing.
The way it was presented to you, boring. Right?
History was the most boring thing when we were kids. Like, what are we talking about? Old men from 1700s? What is that?
And what they used to do?
Exactly. So, yeah, you're right.
You can't relate. It means nothing to you, right?
Exactly. But, you can't relate.
But the thing is, like, it's incredibly important. And Black history is even more pushed aside. Like, it's for some reason, you don't consider Black history American history, even though it is our shared history, right?
Right.
So if you're going to introduce these concepts and these, like, important lessons and these heroes, these people who paved the way, like, we couldn't do the things we're doing now if it weren't for the people who did what they did, right?
Right.
And if you're going to have kids understand that and relate to that, you've got to talk to them in their language, and their language is animation, my man. So that's why we do it.
Oh, yes. I agree with that. I agree with that 100%. That you gotta reach the... So you're using animation and you're using music. Because like we learn our ABCs in rhythm. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, you know. So how you learn rhythm is, or teaching repetitiveness with rhythm is a good thing. So I think that'll grab the youth's attention and give some insight and some knowledge to the older people too, might not have knew. Because honestly, I didn't remember her name. I heard about the story of Bridges, but I didn't remember her name until we talked to Big E, and he was like, "Oh, this is what happened." I was like, "Oh yeah, I remember that story," and I remember what happened. And she had to have the either Secret Service or the Federal FBI come walk her into the classroom. So it was an interesting story, and I don't think my daughter knows about it. So
a lot of people, even as our age, don't know about the teacher. Go ahead.
Real time.
That's the thing. We have to know these names. Like, why do we know George Washington? You know, why do we know,
Abraham Lincoln, right?
Abraham Lincoln. Because that's taught to us, like, from a very early age. It's, like, pounded in, it's repetitive.
Forced on us.
It is. So we're trying to make it in a way, hey, man, you remember in school, like, every once in a while, like, on one of those good days, the teacher would, like, turn off the lights and then wheel in the big TV.
We're about to watch a movie.
The VCR.
That's what we want for our short. Eventually, we'd love for it to be a series. We want people to, like, find the kids to find it. They're like, yes, they're wheeling in the big TV. You know?
Exactly.
Something that's good. And then, they learn something. Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's a great analogy, because we used to love when the TV with the VCR was in the room. Like, we're going to watch a movie. They're going to turn the lights off. We're going to go to sleep.
That's number one.
Also, I got another question for you. It says, if our research is right, it says you describe yourself as a narrative designer. Could you explain what that is? Because we're lost. We don't know what that is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Look, it's the same. There is a language to communication and to emotional responses. Like, you don't even know it, but there is design in every single thing you've ever loved, you know? All the way down to music. Like, there's a reason that music is always like verse, verse, chorus, verse, bridge, chorus, you know? And mm-hmm. it takes design. You have to know these beats and how they go up and down and how they resonate with people. So I study that and I apply it to everything. I, you know, you can apply it to music, you apply it to poetry, and you can certainly apply it to story. There's like, yeah, man, like it's so fascinating. It's like the key to universe, it's key to everything you've ever loved. And as soon as you learn the language, it's addictive and you just want to start applying it to everything and watch people's responses. Like it's really how you make a message or a story resonate with someone without them knowing why.
That's a great answer. And it's true.
Very.
That's great answer. That's the art in everything. Like you said, there's an art and a science to everything. Art and science.
Once you recognize it, you're going to see it everywhere. It's crazy. It's being used on you right now, and you don't even know it. You know that feeling? You know that feeling like when, okay, you hear a song for the first time, right? And mm-hmm. it's like a presentation. You just kind of hear the verses, and you're like, okay, I see where you're going. I get your theme. I see that you stated your theme. And then they hit the chorus, and you're like, all right, cool, cool, cool. I like it. Then they go back into the verse, and then they hit the chorus the second time, and now you're like, God! Dang, I love this.
Okay. Right. Right.
I just heard this and I love it now. And now I'm part of the story. And now I'm going to broadcast it out. You've been programmed. It's design. It's all by design.
Right. That's true. That is very true. It also says that you wrote a movie that this one seems interesting to me. I'm going to have to go check this one out. It's called The Rub. Could you tell us what that's about?
The Rub is actually it's a web series mm-hmm. about the only legitimate massage parlor in Tampa. Now, I don't know.
So not the one that Robert Kraft went to, because he went to the unlegitimate. I made up a word.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys ever make it down to Florida, and I'm sure there's places like this all over the country, but like there is a strip of land in Tampa, Florida, where it's like, massage joint, massage joint, massage joint, massage joint, massage joint, massage joint, and it's like not one of them is open during the daytime. They're only open at night. You're like,
looks like I'm gonna be heading to Tampa.
I've been to Tampa a couple of times. My homeboy lives down in Tampa. Got an Air Force homie that lives down in Tampa, so we go down there every year, like Memorial Day, Labor Day. We never been in that part of Tampa though, Aaron.
Hey, we gotta go.
The street. It's easy to find, my man. It's the street from the spaceship. And if you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about.
I know what the spaceship is, yes.
But yeah,
where are you from?
Me and my partners, Tampa, Florida, man. And you're from Tampa. Yeah, we thought it would be funny, like in a workplace comedy kind of setting. Like, what if somebody tried to open a massage joint in Tampa that was legit? Like,
really?
How would that go? So
you going there expecting that. Something else?
Yes. You made me interested. I'm going to Tampa next time you go.
We're going. Well, we are going to the massage.
We're
going to
hit you up too. We're going
to hit you up too. Checks from the Tampa Tourism Board. Thank you, boys. I appreciate that.
That's interesting. So, what are you doing? All right, so you know we got the premiere coming. Are you going to the premiere? Where is it at? Is it in New York? Is it in?
Oh yeah, it's in New York. We're in New York right now. It's Saturday.
Oh, you're in New York.
2:15 at an AMC. Man, you can get tickets if you happen to be in the area and you want to come through. Man, it's I could not be more proud and pleased with the way this film came out. Man, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. You'll laugh. You'll cry. I'm really proud of it, and I would not miss that premiere for the world, man. Like, to see it like on a big screen, surround sound with an audience, like that's why you do things, right? That's why you tell stories for an audience.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what's up.
That's super dope. And what are you doing? Okay, so we talked to Dre. He said that you guys are mm-hmm. trying to get this sold so you could do a short cartoon or short story cartoon. That's great. Hopefully, we wish you luck on mm-hmm. that. All right, what are you doing outside of that that you are also going to do that you're pursuing?
So it's a two-part answer. First part is like, this is a pretty interesting week for me. So we've got this premiere for Bridges right now here in New York. Meanwhile, over on the other coast in California and Santa Monica, the American Film Market is going on right now. And a movie that I wrote is being shopped there called F+. It's a heist movie set in a middle school. It's Ocean's 11.
So they did do a good job on that. Man. F plus, okay. Keep going.
So that's going on, man. So that's pretty fun. And let me, the main thing I want to tell you, though, is this, because I feel like a lot of people could probably benefit from this change of mindset that I went through. So when we started the idea of bridges, it's like, imagine you're on an island, right? And you've got some resources on the island and you've got to figure out what you're going to do. You can either use those resources and build a flare gun, like a signal flare, shoot it up in the air, it explodes, and you hope that a passing ship might see you and come pick you up, right? That was our mindset when we started. We're like, let's put this thing out in the world and maybe somebody with some means or some connections, some resources, will see what we're doing, they'll understand, and they'll co-sign with us and help us get out of here. We have had a change of heart, my friends. Like, we're still open to that. That's cool. But now what we're doing is we're using those resources and we are building a raft. We're building a boat. So we're going to get ourselves off that island and we're going to make it a dope-ass boat. We're going to sail away on it. If somebody comes by to pick us up, maybe we'll get on. Maybe we won't. But that's what we're doing. We're trying to build this into a long-term thing. There are so many black heroes that we've never heard of. I've never heard of. We need to learn their names. We need to get that's on this. Up. Like, that's what we're doing, man. We're going to run the pirate ship. We're going to be pirates. Come be pirates.
Hey, that's what's up, man.
That's super dope. And that's the right attitude to have. That's how that's how Rockefeller came along. Yep. Nobody wanted Jay-Z. So they was like, yo, don't nobody want us. Let's do our own thing. Let's build. And then when we build our own thing, now they're going to come.
Now you go.
Exactly. Oh,
you go.
So,
right. We're so that's, when I was starving on the island.
Exactly.
Eating each other.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's usually how it goes. Like Dre said in the earlier interview, he said, I was working around a bunch of people who were smart dummies. They didn't know I was bringing them Drake and Kendrick, and they were like, no, that's not, they're underground. So sometimes God is pushing you in a way to tell you, hey, stop thinking like a consumer and think like a producer, and then create something, and then it comes.
Absolutely.
So that's the mindset that you're giving. That's the best mindset to have. That's the best mindset to teach your children. We got to stop the cycle, because we've been teaching to go buy rims instead of buy a rim shop. Own a rim shop instead of sell rim, then you could have both.
Yeah,
so,
man.
It was great talking to you. Hey, we can't wait to see the movie. We're not in New York. We're in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. It was great talking to you. We can't wait to see the film. We're going to see it.
We're going to see it.
Dre lives out here, so we're going to hook up with Dre.
We going to get with you somehow.
We going to get through Dre.
Yeah. Yeah.
And thank you for everything you do. Thank you for that perspective. That was a perspective that people need to hear. And we appreciate you, man.
Peace out.
At the Real Davenport on Twitter, everybody. Twitter X.
Yay. Thank you. Great you, bro.
Thanks,
great
bro.
Job. Great job.
Thanks, brother.
Peace.
Yes, sir.
See you.
Peace out.
You got it? Shout out to Davenport, Big E, Kickstarter, Our Heroes Rock, Urban World Film Festival, November 4th, New York City, Bridges.
That's in a couple days, mother. We out of this motherfucker. Great show.
Thank you everybody for tuning in to the Undrafted All Star Sports Show. I told you we ain't playing with y'all.
I am your host.
I am Big Shook, a.k.a. Sugar Doshi the Great, a.k.a. Mr. Tell Your Friends About Me, with my co-host,
Q Mecca, 2 Texa. Fuck Nate and Shug, because they Cowgirl fans. They losing this week against the Eagles. Ta-da, that's the only game we're going to recruit right now. The Eagles beat the Cowgirls. That's all. That's all we need to know. Peace out.